Amen. Let me say, I am Iron Man. So we're in a series about the armor of God. And the first week we talked about the reality that we are in a battle. How many recognize that you're in a battle? But here's the good news. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty. Somebody say they're mighty.
Mighty.
For the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus has not left us like orphans, the Bible says. He has given us, Peter says, everything we need for life and godliness. And part of the everything we need is the armor of God. He tells us to put on the armor of God, that we might be able to stand, implying that there is an enemy that is trying to knock us down. Does that make sense? And then we know this because in another place in the New Testament, it says that Jesus says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then another place it says that Satan comes, he roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. But if we have the armor of God, we're going to stand.
Amen.
See, you got the guy on this side and he's victorious, loves Jesus and he's victorious. You got the guy over here and he's victorious. And he loves Jesus, but he's not victorious. Hello, somebody. And then what we want to say is, well, you know what? The sovereign God allowed him to be victorious and him not to be victorious. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Wait, don't say amen to this. Got a preface. We say that the sovereign God caused him to be victorious and has caused him not to be victorious. No, bad theology. Not that God isn't sovereign, which means he's all-powerful. He is. But the all-powerful God gave you the all-powerful armor that is his. And then he tells you to put it on. Amen. You know, I forgot my phone today. Whose fault was it that I forgot my phone today? Yeah. Right. Well. Let's just teach that for a minute, because that's what the world says. That's what the world says. How many grew up in a, you don't have to confess this, but how many, I'll say it like this. How many have had some challenges in your life? Raise your hand if you had some challenges in your life. How many raise your hand who said, I've had some challenges in my life, and they weren't because, you know, you can make some bad choices and have challenges because of stupid choices that you made. Come on, am I preaching to somebody? You got yourself in that mess. But I'm asking, how many had some things go on in your life that are challenging? And really, honestly, it had nothing to do with you. It just had to do with the family you were raised in, the situation you got in. It wasn't you, but raise your hand if it's been like that. See, and the truth be told, really, that's all of us to some extent. But, somebody say, but. But we've been given an armor of God. And we've been told to put it on. See, once we're at that place, now all the excuses are out the window. The armor of God is a great place to get off it's not my fault train. Right? The victim train. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, it's time to get off the victim train. Why? Because God has given you armor. And at this point, I can't blame my wife because I forgot my phone. No, that's not my wife's fault that I forgot my phone. It's my fault that I forgot my phone. Amen? Hallelujah. Where's Carlos? True story. One time, One time we were going to Angel Stadium. Here, I got good news and bad news. The good news is the Angels won Friday. Okay. The bad news is the Angels lost yesterday. Guys, I said that was the bad news. Okay. Or for some of you, you could rearrange it. The bad news is that the Dodgers lost Friday, right? But they won yesterday, right? All right. True story. We're going to the Angel game, and Tamara's boss used to have these great tickets. And I'm all sad because he's not a season ticket holder anymore. But he would, every once in a while, he'd throw us some tickets, and I'd be all happy, and we'd invite someone. Well, this time was a real special time, because not only we got tickets, but he had some special place. We weren't eating hot dogs. We were eating ribs, man. It was awesome. But we're going to go to the game, and we're getting in the car, and we're driving, and true story, and Carlos goes, oh, we got to go back. Why we got to go back? I forgot my glove. Pastor, what did you do? I'm gracious. I turned around, went back to get Carlos's glove. Well, at the end of the game, when he had his glove and he had his foul ball in his glove. Come on. See? What's my point? My point is you have to be prepared for what's going to happen. And the Bible doesn't teach that the storms are not going to come. That's false doctrine. Jesus doesn't say if the storm comes. He says when the storm comes. But who cares if the storm comes and you have the armament of God on? Does that make sense? See, that's why Paul said, I glory in infirmities. Why would you glory in infirmities? Because when he's weak, he has the armor of God and he testifies in God's goodness and how God protects. Amen. You can say amen to this. David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the righteous children begging for bread. Guys, these are scriptures in the Bible to teach us that God has victory for our life. And we've listened to too much whining, some of it from the pulpit, some of it from pastors, some of it from pastors on the radio, that you should turn off. Because they're so busy talking about Satan and what he's going to do and your flesh. Here, get a clue. Stop focusing on your flesh. Stop focusing on your flesh. And stop listening to people that are focusing on the flesh. Let's give God praise for what he's done. Let's focus on the cross. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something today? So we learned last week that, and I'm seeing this more clearly, how important, because as we go through each piece, you'll see how important the belt is, the belt of truth. It is first for a purpose. And so even though we're going to talk about the shield of, or the breastplate of righteousness today, in all these pieces, we're going to go back to the belt of truth, the belt of truth, the belt of truth. If you weren't here for that teaching, you need to go to discoverhope.us and listen to the belt of truth, because it was very helpful. And we saw that what is the truth? God's word is true. And we went over and reminded ourselves, let God be true and every man a liar. We reminded ourselves that you can't, that the world is telling us all kinds of things. Let me tell you, parents, the world is teaching you to not guide your kids, to let them make decisions, including decisions about their sexuality. And you need to not listen to the world. They don't know what the truth is. And they're going to get you and your family all messed up. There's things that seem true, but they're not true. Amen. We need to teach our little boys that God made you to be a boy. Amen. We need to teach our little girls that God made you a little girl. And that's God's purpose. And that we serve a good God. Amen. Amen. Guys, can we talk about this? We better talk about it. Next thing you know, we're off and we have taken the untruth of the world. We've applied it into our families. And it is, I'm telling you what, Satan never, he doesn't have a good thought. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And if you look at the statistics of what that kind of teaching produces, it is not beneficial that we are giving these. We don't even give a, you know, how many of you give your kids a choice, you know, what to eat in the morning? Mom, I want a ding dong. No, well, if you're letting your kids make that choice, you are a ding dong. Right? Is this not right? Man, you got to teach your kids to eat right. Is that not right? This is so elementary. And then in bigger things, then you'd go, oh, no, we can't stifle them. All right, then bring on the donuts, okay? Because you're stifling your kids. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. So this belt of truth is so critical in every area in our life. We need to submit to God's truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. Somebody say, in every area. The Bible says that we are to not focus on what we think. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in some of your ways, in all of your ways, in all areas in your life. Because let me tell you about God. God knows you better than you know you. And he knows what's good for you when you don't know what's good for you. And if you'll submit to his authority, particularly in his word, I'm telling you what, you're going to have a good life. And that's what God intended you to have a good life. And that's what God intended you for to have a good life. His plans for you aren't for destruction. They were for a purpose and a hope. That's what the Bible says. Let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, I'll give you another chance. Let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Come on, how many know we got to get pumped up for the word? Amen? What's Pastor got for me today? No, you come in with anticipation. Amen? Man, let's release our faith. How many believe we can hear from God today? I said, how many believe we can hear from God today? Amen. Amen. How many believe a graduate from Pioneer High School can hear from God? Oh, come on. Don't. Man, I lost some people off the train there. I was driving by Pioneer High School, and I saw a big sign on the front, and it says, Titan Pride. Like, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's talk about the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? What is he talking about? He's talking about that we, every day, somebody say every day, we need to recognize that we have right standing with God. God is okay with us today. And not just okay, that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are heirs to the throne. If I have time, I'll show it to you. But the Bible says to those who overcome, God will allow us to sit on, Jesus says he'll allow you to sit on his throne. See, there's churches, I'd say that, and people wouldn't even say amen to that because they think that that's false doctrine. It's not false doctrine. That's what the Bible says in Revelations. See, God has a place for us. God has a purpose for us. We read this week in our daily Bible reading that Jesus was the firstborn, somebody help me preach this, of many brethren. Somebody say, of many brethren. What does that mean? Well, that means that when Jesus, after he died from the cross, there was some other people came into the family. Probably the apostles were probably amongst the first. Peter might have been the second. John might have been the third. Andrew might have been the fourth. What number are you? Amen. I said, what number are you? I said, what number are you? See, if you're born again, you're in the family of God. Amen. You're in the family of God. Amen. Every time that or not every time, but over and over again in the New Testament, as the New Testament writers are writing to Christians, you know what Paul calls them? Saints. Look at your neighbor and say, you are a saint. Now get some attitude. I said, get some attitude. Somebody get some attitude, say, I am a saint. Okay. Everybody look at me, point your finger at me. Say, Pastor, you are a saint. Honey, do you hear that? I am a saint. I had a bunch of people call me a saint. Saint Drew. I like it. You say, Pastor, that is you all being all, no, let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. That's what I'm doing. And you need to do that too, because that's what God says about you. It is not wrong to say what God says about you. And that lazy, stinking, no good, thank you, mentality that we have kept. We're like Linus. Amen. We got that stinky blanket that we carry around all day, man. Get rid of it. Amen. Put on garments of righteousness. That's what the Bible tells us to do, and recognize who God has made you. Put it on every day. You need to look at the mirror and say, I'm telling you what, St. Drew is brushing his teeth right now. St. Drew is shaving right now. Right? See, and we think that that's wrong because we've been taught a bunch of garbage. That's not wrong. It's never wrong to declare what God says about you. The Bible says what's wrong is to bless God on Sunday and curse men on Monday. And half the time you're cursing yourself because of what you did in junior high. I don't care what you did in junior high. I don't care what you did last week. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Somebody needs to put on the armor of God today. Stop apologizing for what Christ did. Amen. Paul says, let me tell you what I do. One thing I do, this is such an important component. One thing I do, I lay aside all these past things that I used to do, and I'm looking forward to the prize that God has called me to. That's what I'm doing. Can I teach this for a minute? So Proverbs 23:7 clues us in to where the battle is. We need to be clued into where the battle is. The battle is in your mind. And let me show you why. David says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." Who's that quarterback that he's like 40 years old? Tom Brady. Is Tom Brady a bad dude? Tom Brady's a bad dude. 40. How old is he? 43. So he was 42. How did Tom Brady go out? And who was the other quarterback the other side? Patrick Mahomes. Is Patrick Mahomes a bad dude? Bad dude. But as this, what? 25. Thank you. Oh, wow. This is helpful. No, this is. So they're walking out. Come on, help me out, somebody. They're walking out to the Super Bowl. And how do you think the 25-year-old is walking out? Man. Have you seen that guy? That guy like can throw, he's like all like this, and he like can throw it perfectly. How do you do that? Here's my question. Who is the other guy? How do you think Tom Brady walked off on the field that day? He's like, pff, pff. You think Tom Brady was intimidated by that 25-year-old? You think Tom Brady was? I remember when I went. I remember this so clearly. I went to a matter of fact, Carlos might have went with me, but they used to give us free tickets to UCLA games, the football games, and it was UCLA, and they were playing Tennessee. And I remember watching and just freaking out, thinking because I saw the linemen and I saw the linebackers. I'm telling you what, these guys were. Like huge, all of them, just, you know. And I thought, man, if I was quarterback from UCLA, I would be freaked out. I'm just being honest, you know. I wouldn't be, as you're eating your chips and Doritos, you know what I mean? Oh my God. Okay. I'm just telling you, these guys were huge. But what I'm saying is, Tom Brady has a mentality that I'm going to win. And David says, as a man perceives in his heart, so he is. Listen, if Tom Brady would have lost, I think he'd walk out at the beginning of this season going, we're going to win the whole thing this year. Do you understand? Remember that game like a couple years ago before that? They were losing. It was crazy. It was like the end of the third quarter. They're totally losing to the Atlanta Falcons. They won the game. It was like crazy. How did they do that? Because I remember my wife, she saw the score, and it was like so lopsided. She said, oh, they could still win. And I'm thinking, she don't know nothing. Sorry. Who didn't know nothing that day? Yeah, I didn't know nothing. I remember screaming with my son. My son was a big Patriot fan. I remember screaming with my son. We were so happy. Okay. Here's my point. How many know Satan knows Scripture? We know that because he quoted Scripture to Jesus. See, he knows where the battle is. The battle is for you to think you're less than you are. That's why to put on this piece is so critical. You know what it protects? It protects your heart, which is not the thing that's pumping. It's who you really are. And if you don't understand who you are, then Satan is going to, you know what the Bible calls Satan? The accuser of the brethren. He comes, the Bible says, day and night before the Lord, and he's accusing you and I. And the problem is Not that he accuses us. The problem is, listen to me, because here's the whole sermon. When he accuses us and we don't have the breastplate of righteousness on, and we start to are convinced that what he is saying about us is true. He is a liar. He is lying. And all you have to do is put that breastplate of righteousness and remind him what God has done on the cross through Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Do you have that in the back? Yeah, you do. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power. And the kingdom of God and the power of Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accuses them before God, when? Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. He's accusing you. What is he accusing you of? Listen, stuff that you don't need to be accused of. Why? Because you have been declared not guilty. Somebody say, not guilty. You want to know a good sermon title for this message? That's what it is. Not guilty. Somebody say, not guilty. No, I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am not guilty. That's who I am. I'm not guilty. I'm not guilty of none of it. None of it. Somebody say, none of it. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. This one thing I do, forgetting those things behind. What's he doing? He's putting on the garments of righteousness. Why? Because what Christ did. No, that was behind me. Say that was behind me. Satan has some things to say about you because he's the accuser. But God's got some things to say about you too. It's two dogs. They're fighting. Same size, same color, same breed. What dog wins? The dog who's fed the most. See, what are you feeding? Your mind. What are you reminding yourself? Of what God says about you or what Satan says about you? Because they're both talking. Let God be true and every man a liar. See how the belt of truth? We're going to see, watch this. We're going to see how each piece is tied into each other. But this belt of truth is first because you ultimately got to remind yourself on all these pieces what the word of God is true. Does that make sense? Turn to John 3:14. Oh, wow. That sounds nice, huh? It's peaceful, huh, Connie? John chapter 3, verse 14. Look what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, the serpent is a shadow of what Christ was going to do. Here's my question. How in the world is a serpent on this pole a representation of Jesus Christ? That's weird, is it not? Why would a serpent be a symbol of Jesus Christ? Can I tell you why? Because the Son of Man, with your sin and my sin, was lifted up on the cross. That's why. See, your sin and my sin has been dealt with already. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 15. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Do you believe in him? I said, do you believe in him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, somebody say amen. Amen. Are you glad God sent Jesus? Yes. Now watch this. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus wasn't here to condemn the world. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who believes in him is what? Not condemned. Say, I'm not condemned. Do you believe in him? Then you're not condemned. Do you believe in him? Then you're not condemned. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can wash away all your sin. And so if you don't believe in him, listen, you were jacked up when you were born. You were born into sin. You were born into the race of Adam, the Bible says. And so you're already condemned. But if you believe in Jesus, you're not condemned. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn. What did he come to do? He came to save. That was his purpose. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. How many know one of the biggest problems isn't that people don't know Christ? Isn't, or say it like this, one of the biggest problems isn't that there's ignorance. It is a problem. But a bigger problem is that people don't want to come to Christ. They enjoy their sin. Oh, it's getting pretty quiet here. See, that's a big problem. They enjoy their sin. They don't want to come to the light. Because when you come to the light, your sin is going to be revealed. Well, how many know that's okay? How many know for you to recognize you're doing some things wrong isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing. You ever not wanted to ask your parents something because you knew what they were going to say? Oh, come on, somebody tell the truth. Amen? You ever not want to ask your pastor something because you know what he's going to say? Oh, didn't get a bunch of amen on that one. Amen. Oh, no, I don't want to go to pastor's office. No. Because you already know what I'm going to say. Well, it ain't about me. It's about God. Amen? No, we need to come to God with our mess. We need to allow God to expose our mess. There's some people who know about Jesus Christ. They just don't want to give up their sin. Look at your neighbor and say, I hope that's not you. Oh, that's not you. For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who comes to the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. Jesus came to save us. Remember, we taught this recently. Remember the woman who'd been caught in adultery. She had been caught in adultery. And these guys catch her. They bring her to Jesus. They're just trying to set Jesus up. They don't really care what he thinks. They just think they got it. They have him. So you know the story. If you don't, I'll tell it to you. They come and they say, Moses said we could stone her. You know what? And what do you say? And Jesus just started writing on the ground. Okay. But then later on, he said to them, he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And they all went away. You know why they all went away? Because they all had sin. They all had sin. And then Jesus turns to her and says, where did all these accusers Pastor George, do you ever do that like with Spanish words? I do those with Spanish words and English words. Accusers. Man, I added a syllable, huh? Where'd those people go to? They're all gone. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. You know why? Because Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Amen. You ever think about that? I mean, just you ever think about why didn't he condemn her? She was committing adultery. Right? Why didn't he condemn her? Can I tell you about God? There is a time when you will be judged. Everybody is going to be judged. Here, deep question. When this woman comes, is she alive or is she dead? She alive or is she dead? Come on, this is an easy one. Is she alive or is she breathing? Is she alive or is she dead? She's alive. She's alive. She's alive. See, when Carlos sent me the score Friday night and it was 1-0, I didn't care. Do you know why I didn't care? Because it's not over. See, I started thinking, why doesn't God condemn her? Well, one reason, he didn't come to condemn, he came to save. But another reason, it's not over. Think about this. He didn't condemn her. Here, this is deep. Are you ready? Stay with me here. Okay? It's not burrito time yet, okay? We'll eat chimichangas later on, okay? Chimichangas. That's a new burrito. Special one. He didn't condemn her. What about all the guys who walked away? He said he was without sin, cast the first stone. Guess what? He didn't condemn any of those guys either. They all had sin, did they not? He was without sin, cast the first stone. They all dropped their rocks and walked away. All those guys had sin in their life too. How come he didn't condemn them? He didn't condemn her. He didn't condemn them. Can I tell you why? Because they all were alive. That is not his role. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. Amen. It didn't make any difference. He said, Pastor, what are you talking about? I don't know what the score is in your life. Maybe for some of you, Satan is kicking your butt. Maybe for some of you, sin is kicking your butt. I don't condemn you. Somebody take a big breath. Blow it out, say, I'm alive. Well, then you can still turn from your wickedness and come to Christ. Hallelujah. Maybe, listen. Maybe some of you are saved already. But there's some things that you need to straighten out in your life. I'm not gonna not call your sin sin. If you're watching pornography, stop it. If you're in adultery, stop it. If you're a gossip, stop it. If you're selfish with your finances, stop it. I don't need to go on. Do you get my drift? If you're walking in unforgiveness, stop it. But I'm not here to condemn you because you're still living. I still believe in you. I believe that no matter what you did yesterday, today you can put on the breastplate of righteousness and you can turn your life around today. Amen. Well, but Pastor, I got rid of most of my stuff. Well, today's the rate. You know what? Praise God. You know, you're like the guy. You know what? You're like the person in the pool. You know what? Your feet are wet. Your ankles are wet. Your knees wet. Your waist is wet. Jump in the pool. Amen. Get in the pool. See, there's nothing like walking in holiness. There's nothing like being obedient to God. There's nothing like saying, you know what? I'm just going to let that go. He doesn't condemn because they're all living. There will be a day that God will judge. And interesting enough, Jesus says, I don't even judge. My word's going to judge you. I've already told you what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And you running your own life, you can run your own life if you want, but that's not acceptable. Are you learning something? What's condemnation mean? It means you're guilty. It means you are guilty. And when you are found guilty, how many know there's a punishment? You know, they have this, what do they call it? When you're found guilty, they have a sentencing hearing. And that sentencing hearing, they're going to tell you what your punishment is. Well, Pastor, what's the punishment to sin? It's already been declared. The wages, that's how much it's going to cost you, of sin is death. See, sin is going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? It's going to cost you death. Now, let's talk about this death for a minute. When Adam and Eve sinned, notice they didn't die right away. But there was a starting of death taking place. How many know you can plant something and not see it fruit right away? How many know this is true? In the same way, you can sow seeds of sin and not see the ramifications right away. Come on. You're like, oh, what'd you do last night? Oh, man, I went to the honky-tonk. I got wasted, man. I got wasted. You know, how many notice you don't get wasted? You get wasted. Is this not true? Is this not true? I get wasted. I got wasted. Yeah, somebody's like, how do you know? I have no idea because I saw it on an infomercial one time. Wasted. Okay, so I got wasted. You know what? Yeah, and then there was this chick. She was so fine. You're like, chick? What's chick? That was, anyway, look it up on the internet, okay? There's this chick, and she was fine, and man, we hooked up. Are you happy? Oh, I'm so happy. I had a great time last night. Oh, are you happy? I'm happy. Oh, are you happy? I told you I'm happy. Are you happy? Daddy, are you happy? What you talking about? No. Daddy, you happy, Daddy? You ready to be a daddy? See, how many know? You're like, you're fine. But what you sowed some seed, did you not? Come on, somebody. Amen. And just because you didn't see the ramifications right away, don't mean that you're not going to, you know, pick out a name, Daddy. Pick out a name. I'll pick out a name for you, Daddy. Amen. It's just an example. But what I'm saying is there's stuff and you think you're getting away with it. It's just, you're not getting away with nothing. You just haven't seen the ramification yet. Does that make sense? What does God say to you today? Man, let's just get rid of that now. Let's just take care of that right now. I didn't come to condemn you, but I did come to save you. Does that make sense? Is somebody learning something today? John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not just forgiven, you're made righteous. I said, you're not just forgiven, you're made righteous. You're not just forgiven, you're made righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are as righteous. Ooh, see, you say stuff like this and religious people get mad at you. They get mad at you for saying the truth. Because there's so much wrong thinking in our hearts and in our minds. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. Theologically, that's absolutely true. And the reason why that trips you up for me to say that is because you have such a sin consciousness. And the Bible has set you free from sin and death. That's what the Bible says. You've been set free. Somebody say, I'm free. You've been new. You're new. Look at somebody say, I'm new. Old things are passed away. Behold, watch this. I'm quoting the word. Behold. You know what that means? It means look at it this way. All things have become new. That includes you. That includes you. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, God has forgotten your sin. So if he has forgotten it, you need to put the breastplate on and say, if he forgot it, I'm going to forget it. If he forgot how I, and here's the thing. You know, we read, I think this is in, yes, Hebrews chapter 3. You know what sin begets? Sin. Is this not true? Sin begets sin. You start in this role and then you get in this habit. Sin begets sin. You know, right thinking begets right thinking. And you can start to think right and then you'll start to behave right. But if Satan, who is always accusing you, is going to accuse you and say, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. I know Christians be, oh, I'm just a sinner, I'm just a sinner. They think they're being humble. No, they're being unbiblical. You were a sinner. Now what are you? You have been made, behold, look at it this way. Behold, all things have become new. All things what? All the areas that you were jacked up in. What's he accusing you? The accuser of the brother. What is he accusing you of? He's accusing you. You're guilty of that. You're guilty of that. You're guilt. Can I say this? When you don't put the armor of God in, what you're actually doing is you're making less what Christ did on the cross. That's what you're doing. No, no, no. Somebody say, not today. Somebody say, not today. Oh, not today. Somebody say, I'm putting the righteousness of God on. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. I'm reading out of the Amplified because I want you to see it. The wording here is so excellent. In speaking the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness. See, this breastplate is a weapon in that when that accusation comes, what happens? Ting, 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 ting. There was a LAPD officer. It's coming. He's on patrol. He sees a car run a red light. He pulls the car over. When he pulls it, he doesn't know this. He pulls the car over. He's just thinking, I'm going to give him a ticket for running a red light. The guy he pulls over had just robbed a convenience store, has the gun and the money right there on the seat. The cop says, may I have your license and registration? When he says that, the guy that he pulled over, picks out his gun and shoots him. Boom! The police officer falls down, gets back up, and arrests the man. No, not like get back up like, oh, I'm bleeding! No, 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 not that. Like, oh, you're arrested now. How come? How come? Because when he got up in the morning, he put on a garment. He put on a bulletproof vest. And when he got shot, that bullet wasn't effective. I'm not telling you you're not going to get shot. I'm telling you, you're going to get shot over and over and over because Revelation said he comes day and night. What I'm telling you is put on the breastplate of righteousness because you're getting wiped out because as a man thinks he is, so he is. So you think, oh, I couldn't do, oh, I could never do this. I could never do that. I could never do this. And you've been told that that's humility. And I'm not trying to be rude. It's not humility. It's stupidity. No, it is. Because Satan has taken you out. And he's taken you out back to the belt of truth. I told you how these work together. He's taking you out because you didn't stand up and say, no, let me tell you who I am, Jackson. That bullet can't penetrate me because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. As right as Jesus is before God, so am I. And we feel like we can't say that. You better say that. Because that is the truth. That's what Christ did on the cross. Is this making sense? Yes. That's what Christ did on the cross. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, in the watch this is so good. In the Amplified, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, boom, ting, ting. And can you imagine? He shoots that guy. That gets up. Get in my car. You're arrested, Jackson. Can you imagine him doing that? Watch this. For the right hand, like holding the sword to attack, and the left hand holding the shield to defend. Look at your neighbor and say, if you put this on, look at your neighbor and tell him, if you put this on, Tell your neighbor, if you put this on, you're going to be a bad dude. Hey, Tamara, who did my friend in when we were children's pastor, David? What was my name? Oh, you can call me Saint Drew. Or you can tell me like my friend called me. You know what he called me? He called me Dangerous Drew. You know why he called me Dangerous Drew? He said, because you're dangerous to the kingdom of Satan. See? You see what it said? With the one hand, man, you got the sword. With the other hand, you got the shield. I'm telling you what. He's jacked up. One day, Tamara and I were painting. You ever worked all day and you're really tired? And we worked all day, we're really tired, and someone came that was such a blessing to us. It was Pastor Paul. And you ever been painting and you go up on the ladder and you go down on the ladder and you go up on the ladder and you go down on the ladder and you go up on, and you're doing that all day and you don't even feel like going up on the ladder again? And Pastor Paul came in. And he was such a blessing. Because you know what Pastor Paul did? We gave him a paintbrush and without a ladder. Now here's what I'm saying. I saved the best for last. In the same way, there's things to get rid of your sin that you couldn't do by yourself. But Jesus came in the room. Jesus came in the room. And he went on the cross. And he washed away all your sin. That which you could not do by yourself, he did. And it's time that Christians start recognizing what he has done. Started put with all your craziness, with all your smoking joints, with all you getting drunk, with all your, you know what, shacking up, with all your sleeping around, with all your crazy hair days. Okay, shine that last one. I don't think crazy hair days is a sin. But what I'm saying is, with all your imperfections, Jesus wiped it out. Jesus did what you couldn't do by yourself. Let's put on his righteousness from now on. Let's not beat ourselves up for things that we did last week, last year, 20 years ago, 20 days ago. Let's recognize that what we need to get is a righteousness consciousness. The more you meditate on your sin, the more you'll sin. The Bible doesn't say that you overcome Satan. You overcome evil with good. That's what the Bible says. Just start to do the right thing. 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 Let God lead you, and you'll get to the place where you look back and you'll think, man, I can't even believe that's who I was, because that's not who you are. See, you keep on looking and looking and looking and seeing who you are, and you keep on allowing Satan to say, that's who you are, that's who are you. No, that's who I was. That's not who I am anymore. Amen. I know a good friend of mine, and they used to tell me, because they knew my past life, they used to remind me of my past life. And I was close enough to this person that I said, hey, could you do me a favor? Because it was just kind of in jest. It was kind of joking. And it was kind of funny. But I said, could you do me a favor? Don't bring that up anymore. Can I tell you why I said that? Because I don't want to see myself that way anymore. I want to see myself the way God made me. I want to start walking. I want to start putting on. And to be honest with you, that's part of putting on this garment of righteousness. That you're saying, no, I have right standing, but I'm going to start to act like the person that God made me. I like what Keith Green said. Keith Green said this one time. See, we have a sin mentality, and we listen to pastors that say, oh, yes, everybody knows you got to sin every day. Where's that in the Bible? Show me that scripture in the Bible. You can't find it. That sin mentality that we've been... consciousness we've been fed. We've been told that. I like what Keith Green said. He said, trying to get us broken of this sin mentality. I have to sin. You don't have to sin. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I understand that that's because of what Christ did. But you are victorious. The Bible says, as Jesus is, so we are on this earth. The Bible says we've been given the mind of Christ. See how many scriptures these are? And then yet you listen to a goofball who talk about, oh, everybody knows you got to sin every day. And nobody in the congregation has the spiritual intelligence to say, that's not true. Keith Green said this at a concert at Azusa Pacific. He said this. He said, how many of you cannot sin for... I'm not asking you. He said this. How many of you cannot sin for a year? And almost nobody raised their hands. And he said, how many of you can not sin for a month? And nobody raised their hands. Sin mentality. And he said, how many of you cannot sin? See, even in my illustrating, some of you are thinking, well, yeah, you can't. It's because you've been taught that over and over and over again. Stay with me here. If you disagree at the end, then you can disagree. But just keep an open mind. Can we shake your head like this if you keep an open mind? Then he said, how many of you cannot sin for a week? And he had a couple of brave people raise their hand. Then he said, how many of you cannot sin for a day? With thousands there, he just had a couple more, just a couple. Of mostly Christian people would even say they can't sin for it. They can go sinless for a day. He said, how many of you cannot sin for an hour? And finally, he had some people raise their hand. But still, imagine this, the majority had their hands down. He said, how many of you cannot sin for 10 minutes? And he finally got some majority of people to raise their hand. But there are still some people who wouldn't raise their hand. Do you see how embedded this sin mentality is in our life? He said, how many of you cannot sin for a minute? And finally, he got the majority to raise their hands. And he said, then he said this. He said, then you live your life a minute a day. See, for most of you, you cannot sin for 5 minutes. Well, just, you can only live your life a moment at a time anyway. Just live your life in 5 minute segments. And at the end of the day, you will have led a day that you just walked in freedom. Do you get this? I'm telling you what, I am swimming upstream right now to the max. But I don't care. Because I want us to stop taking off the breastplate of righteousness and start to put it on. Can you stand to your feet? How many know there's nothing like God? How many know there's nothing like Jesus? How many know there's nothing like the blood of Jesus? How many know there's nothing like the blood of Jesus?
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing.
Come on, sing it to God.
Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Now, if something that was said touched your life in some way, if you feel like there's been days you haven't put the garment of righteousness, if you have made less what Christ did on the cross than you should be making, I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Say that with me. Say, Pastor, I'm putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to do it the next day. And I'm going to do it the next day. Somebody say this. For I have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, before we dismiss, if there's somebody who's not even in the family of God, maybe you're watching at home. Or maybe you're here. Now is not the time to procrastinate. True story, we don't know if we're going to be around tomorrow. How many know the end could be tomorrow, could be tonight? We might not even have an Esperanza service tonight. How many know that is absolutely possible? So don't procrastinate it. God is speaking. He's knocking. He's knocking at your door. He's saying, come in. Let me in. Let me in. What that pastor is talking about is absolutely true. I've been speaking to you this whole time. Now is your time. Stop. You've resisted me long enough. Now is time to let me in. Or for some of you, you are so far away from God. You're so far away from God. And you need to say, God, I need you fresh in my life. If that's you, I want you to pray this. Say, Jesus, I need you. Come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I need you like I have never needed you before. Come in and change me. I want to be a Christian today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.